Should I stay or should I go?
Well, I know my vote. Good morning and welcome to the roundtable panel. It's very nice to have you with us on this Thursday morning. It is the 18th of September and a delight to have you all here. Let me invite you to join in on the conversation by emailing us roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Let me introduce our panel to you this morning. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. We just finished the media project, and Mike Spain, who is also on our panel this morning, did a marvelous job in Rex's absence. I want you to know that, Mike. You should feel good.
I think
good.
Rex is probably listening. As,
then I get a double bang.
Speaking engagement.
Making you feel even more awkward, right, Mike? Yeah, good.
Yeah.
And Mike Spain, of course, is here. He is the Times Union Associated Editor and our dear friend, and we welcome him to our program this week. And Albany Journalism, University at Albany Journalism Professor and Investigative Reporter Rosemary Armeo, who is not Alan's wife, is with us this morning.
What? I don't get that.
We got a letter saying that the only reason I'm allowed to express my outrageous viewpoints is that you're married to me.
Oh, well, emotionally, maybe.
So, Rosemary said we could probably save time if we didn't introduce the panel. I said, I think we have to introduce the panel because people think you two are married.
Yeah.
So,
you could ask Roselle, my actual wife, who I just got off the phone with, who we were having a minor disagreement whether it would be pleasant to be married to me, and I think the answer would be no.
Maybe I don't have to ask Rochelle. Yeah.
the other thing I think is interesting about all of that is that I think it's a term of a statement of endearment in that you two act like a old married
wobbly
couple. There's a great respect and synergy.
Yes,
but there
absolutely.
Is. There actually is.
Absolutely.
Unlike I've been in a marriage that didn't exist then.
All right. Well, let's
rescue us, please.
Let's start the fireworks and the great love that we have for each other, and begin with what's happening in the world. As I bring this up, just a reminder that you can join us roundtable@wamc.org. Okay, we start off with the House and the ISIS vote, and this is how did that happen? I'm sorry. Excuse me for just one moment. Right. Because I clicked on the House ISIS vote story, and I got something about artificial sweeteners, which is obviously my mistake.
Not necessarily.
No. Was that,
found that yesterday.
Was that done
yes.
on purpose?
Yes.
Yeah.
you wanted to talk about this. It's a good story.
Yeah, it is a good story. Here we go. So an unusual but overwhelming coalition in the House voted Wednesday to authorize the training and arming of Syrian rebels to confront the militant Islamic State, backing President Obama after he personally pleaded for support. A vote of 273 to 156 was over a narrow military measure with no money attached, but it took on outsized importance and was infused in drama, reflecting the tension and ambiguity of members wary of the ultimate path to which any war vote could lead. But the fact is that a week and a half ago, we were questioning as to whether the president could get this kind of support. He got it. So, I mean, I don't want to be overly optimistic, but that sounds good to me, isn't it?
Well,
or shouldn't we read too much into it?
If you're one of the people in, I was looking at the New York State delegation to Congress, and it was very interesting because people on the sort of left side of the scale quite frequently were in the no column on voting for this because they just didn't want to go there. There are people, I'm sure, although not having read this whole thing, because I don't like to prepare for this panel, it takes away something from your presentation.
Spontaneity is what you like.
My students give me excuses like that. I didn't want to study for this test.
It takes something
reason,
away.
But
like
there's a good reason. It just would corrupt me
and
if
information.
I studied. Yeah. No, but I think that there are certainly people on the right who have traditionally been against these kinds of entanglements. But so it was a genuine bipartisan vote in many ways. People on both sides, both parties, either getting into it or getting out of it.
And this all came as the president was acting to the story that we were talking about yesterday in regards to ground troops. And again, he said, insisting that the U.S. will not get drawn into a ground war. And these two things were sort of happening at about the same time.
Well, some of the people who voted against it, maybe they were part of the 85 Democrats that voted against it, or the 71 Republicans who were against it. And they did not prevail. But they're skeptical that the U.S. can get involved in this war against ISIS or the Islamic State and not end up putting boots on the ground. And even the defense secretary testified this week that should it be necessary to protect American troops, American interests, we will go in.
Yeah, but the White House had to clarify that, Mike,
yes,
and say,
right.
That's not us, that's him.
Right.
Really. Your commander-in-chief and your general goes and opens his yap and says something that you don't believe in or that you're not getting ready for, both sides against the middle?
Well, when you say public opinion has evolved very rapidly with regard to the issue of our involvement in
it always does,
ISIS,
right?
Mm-hmm.
We always like to send get the brass band out and play when the kids are going off marching off to war. But you know, you look at World War One, and as the model, there's always some reason for getting into it. Battleship of Maine, in TR's days, World War One, the shooting of
Archduke Ferdinand. How did that start a World War?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then it ends up. So you could predict, and I think this is why the negative votes came. You could predict based on history that we're going to do it again, that the slippery slope was going on.
Okay, this story made me really nervous. The vote made me really nervous. I've been saying all along, why did the Islamic State entice us this way and draw us into this war, provoke us by beheading? And with a campaign that's gone on the ground and on social media to draw in the United States, they want a confrontation with us. We stayed out of Syria because it was an unwinnable war. I don't know that it's more winnable now, and yet we're going in gung-ho, it's the right war. I don't like that rhetoric.
And we don't know who's on our side.
Yeah,
So the Syrian foreign minister was on NPR this morning, saying you have
the
to
Iranian, Iranian, right?
No, I think it was the Syrian,
the Syrian
guy.
Mm-hmm.
I may be wrong, but I think I'm right. Saying, you have to do this with us. Well, we don't want to get in bed with Assad, and it's certainly Rosemary. We shouldn't be getting in bed with the other guys either. Because
all bad. That's why we stayed out of it up to now. And so this groundswell for action now and go do it. I mean, I think I was part of it. It was like, yeah, we have to do something. This gave me caution. I think those negative votes, we need to be listening to them.
Let us take a quick break. We'll come back and move on. We have about, I just counted, 78 stories to talk about this morning.
I sent about 11 to you last night in the middle of the night, the health stories, the various health stories.
Yes, I just labeled them health stories and just put a bunch of links down there.
Yeah.
So we'll get to as many as we can, and we'll get to, and Rosemary sent a couple stories, Mike sent a couple stories, and so we'll get to all, or most. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support comes from EDC Warren County, working with communities in the Adirondacks, Lake George, Glens Falls, and Queensbury, providing existing businesses and new businesses with the resources for growth and expansion. EDCWC.org. Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing nature gifts, bird seed, bird feeders, and more to help create a backyard refuge. WBU.com/Saratoga Springs. And Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, presenting 1964 The Tribute, rock history musical, pre-Sergeant Pepper, recreating an early 60s Beatles concert with period instruments, clothing, and hairstyles. Tomorrow at 8 p.m., troymusichall.org.
Welcome back to the roundtable panel. For the first time in his presidency, more Americans disapprove of President Obama's handling of terrorism than approve of it. According to the new New York Times CBS News poll, they're discontent about his management of foreign affairs and the fight against Sunni militants in Iraq and Syria. As Mr. Obama broadens the military offense against Islamic extremists, the survey finds broad support for the U.S. airstrikes in Iraq and Syria, but it also demonstrates how torn Americans are about wading back into battle in the Middle East. This is much of what we were just talking about, and Rosemary's a concern as well. It's some interesting numbers here. Do you approve or disapprove of the way Barack Obama is handling the situation with ISIS and the military in Iraq and Syria? 39% approve, 48% disapprove, 13% have no opinion. Those are not great numbers.
No. You know, I don't think it's really right to confuse the American people's unhappiness with what's going on with this particular president.
Yeah. The performance of the president.
Yeah, I mean, we have so many foreign policy crises that I think when that particular question gets asked and there isn't a particularly good answer, people will say, you know, I'm not happy because what's he going to do, snap his fingers and say, it's all going to be better now?
Yeah. Doesn't matter. I mean, we talk among ourselves about why would anybody listen to what we're saying about what's happening in the Middle East? What difference does it make? And yet, it is part of our lives, our tax dollars. Many of our relatives and loved ones are going over there, so we have a right to talk about it. But we don't make the decisions. We've ceded that to an administration, and it's just voices in the wind.
But it's even more profound than that. I think you're exactly right. But I think what we're all worried about is the issues, but we don't have any idea about what's really going on. We don't know who Obama's talking to. We don't know whether Bashar Assad is in some way talking to our State Department through this channel or that channel.
Well, and even if we knew
that, we don't know that stuff.
And even if we did, we still don't really know what to do, right?
That's right. We don't know what to do. On the other hand, the more and Rosemary is my champion when it comes to this as a journalist. The more we know, the better we are. And of course, there is now a increasing. Increasing difficulty with our administrators of all parties telling us what they're doing. So how can you evaluate what they're doing if you're not being able to?
On the media project today, we talked about the high-powered reporters who were called in to talk to Obama off the record about what was happening just before he made his ISIS speech.
In background,
exactly. And so I'm wondering, do they know? Do they know if there's calls
if
from
there's
Assad?
There's conversations
through
going on.
Right? But also, does the administrator who has the president or the governor in this case, in my case, who calls you in and says, first of all, I want to make it clear it's all off the record.
Yeah.
Now, what are they trying to achieve?
They're trying to win you over and persuade you to be supportive without having to portray publicly what it is they're...
Mike, I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
I think what they may be trying to do is say, okay, here it is. Go use it at your own risk. Or try to work some way to use it, but without direct attribution
to me.
But
don't have it come from me.
Right.
Yeah. Alan, let me ask you, what does the president's poll ratings bode for the midterm elections? Is it going to really hurt the Democrats trying to stay in control at the Senate and in House races?
Like anti-chicken soup, it can't be good.
Yes, anti-chicken soup.
For the president. I mean, you know, the worse it gets for the president, obviously, some of these people will try, some of the people in the other party will try to, you know, use that to get elected. And I think since we don't have a popular guy as Obama was 2 years ago running, a lot of people who would ordinarily turn out for him, but not for lower level candidates, will not turn out. And we know that there are particular groups that come out when there's a good reason for coming out, but not otherwise. And so I think
this won't get out the vote.
This will not do it. Yeah.
We're going to take a break in just a moment. One of the other stories that we've talked about this week, and we'll get into, of course, tomorrow because we'll have some numbers. But of course, the Scottish vote is going on,
yeah.
And I just want to make sure in the minute we have before we go to the break that everyone's on the same plane. Right?
Well, it's so interesting about this because the BBC. I was listening at 4 o'clock this morning, and they were explaining why they're not covering it in depth. Because they apparently have prescriptions about what they can do in terms of domestic politics on the BBC itself. It's got to be one of the biggest stories ever over there, and they are just not doing justice to it.
Polls are open, and we'll see.
Still too close to call.
50-50.
It looks like it'll be the undecideds who will decide this. And typically, undecideds go in favor of the status quo. However, there's indications.
You think you're still on that? You're still on that? Are you?
It's close enough.
Because yesterday, you
and I have a bet.
Yeah, we have a bet. But it sounds to me like it's going to be. And then there'll be buyer's remorse. I think that what's going to happen is they're going to vote for it.
So that's what I wanted to check in. So you're still thinking that the vote will be for independence.
I am.
And Rosemary and I
narrow
still believe that it will, it will
narrowly
against.
Be defeated. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Just like Quebec.
Yes, Quebec, right. It'll be very close, but it'll change things anyway. I mean, if it's a close vote.
You cannot, but Quebec is different than this because this is a whole nation on the question of nationalism. Quebec was a single group of, French-speaking citizens who led the charge on this. No?
Yeah, and I'm not saying what the big difference is. I mean, there was a language difference in
cultural
Quebec,
difference.
Which a cultural difference, very unlike. I mean, the Scots speak the same language, sort of. Can't understand them, but sort of the same language. And
she's stressed.
It's true. Right. I love Scottish accents, but can you understand that?
Yeah.
I love it. Come talk to me, but I won't know what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay. No, I think you have a point.
All right. Well, with that, we'll give you time to write. It's a roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll collect the mail and we'll read from. We'll get to three topics and just see. There you go. We'll do more after this. Welcome back to our roundtable discussion. Good morning. It is 9:37 on this Thursday morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain are with us. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, let us get to the mail, and then we'll get to more topics because we have many, many more to get to.
Our very good friend Julia says, if the Scottish vote is for independence, what other nationalistic movements will be energized to push their agendas? And Kenner, who quite frequently checks in, says, cannot decide how to vote on Scottish independence. I am waiting for clear guidance from the eminent Australian political philosopher Rupert Murdoch or else the eminent Australian historian Mel Gibson. They better not call it before late returns come in from North Carolina and Tennessee.
Murdoch has not endorsed either position.
No, but Murdoch this morning is going after Google. You all read that, right?
Is that right?
Yes, because he's saying that Google is robbing their content.
He's probably right
about that.
I think he's correct.
I don't know that would
steal
take
everybody
Murdoch
else's.
That would take a massive change. Okay, and then I don't know. Here Tom says hi. Just a point about Scotland and the EU. Some commentators suggest that an independent Scotland would have to apply to join, which presumes that England would not. Given a divorce and Scotland regaining its independence, shouldn't both partners, or neither, have to apply? And Daniel says, I believe Obama using ISIL is very deliberate. L stands for Levant, a geographic issue area that includes Iran, Lebanon, and Israel, perhaps a subtle and brilliant attempt to find common ground. And that's from Dan. And Scott says, look closely at the language being crafted in the legislation in our nation's latest drive to war. It is being written very broadly. Honestly, I think Obama got suckered in by the neocons, and the military-industrial complex will be the only winner here. And then he does something Scott does. He says, I'm entitled to an exit question. He says, exit question. So he says, I have an 11-year-old son. Will this endless, boundless war be part of his inheritance? Tom says, I didn't vote for Obama because he runs the country by polls, Jeff says, if we truly want to limit these wars, we should reinstate the lottery draft tomorrow with no exclusions. And then, and he goes on, but I think we've talked about it, and I think we got that. Oh, boy. I think that's it. Did you see anything else, Joe?
That looks, I think you got them all.
Okay.
Excellent. All right. So let's move on to other topics and find out what else is happening in this world of ours. And we'll go to, as we mentioned, there's many stories. We'll go to the Times Square security story. The new, police in New York are stepping up security on Wednesday in response to the possible threat of a terrorist attack in Times Square, even as officials cautioned that they had no information about specific plans against the city. Officers expanded their presence in Times Square and at mass transit sites after an online post purportedly from the Islamic State encouraged lone wolves to attack tourist attractions in New York and elsewhere. Police Commissioner William Bratton said that with tensions escalating between the militant group and the U.S., the group's ability to recruit attackers online constituted a current threat, but he added there was no direct actionable intelligence in our possession that indicates an attack in the Times Square area or anywhere else in the city for that matter. The arrival of high-profile dignitaries for the U.N. General Assembly and the upcoming Jewish High Holy Days had already prompted heightened security, according to Mr. Bratton. The question I have about this is the is this very vague phrase, an online post purportedly from the Islamic State encouraging lone wolves to attack tourist attractions in New York and elsewhere. The elsewhere concerns me just a little bit of where else that is and why are they not
state?
Well, we do know elements of this. Did the World Trade Center not once but twice? We
right.
do know that somebody got. I'm not saying ISIL is the same group, but you know, obviously, in my mind, it is.
Well, there's because a terrorist threat,
whatever it's worth. And then because of some sharp-eyed tourist, smoke coming out of a car. It's very interesting because Roselle and I were walking around the city this weekend and we saw a lot of smoke coming out of the front of a car. And Roselle's position was, well, it's just because it turned it off. It turned off in minus. We should call the cops. And she said, let's go. Now, nothing blew up. So, you know, look, they become big, huge winners as a result of this because they are causing this tremendous
terror.
Discomfort and terror,
disruption,
which is exactly what they want to do.
And I understand you have to play it close to the vest, but by the same token, you say we have no detailed information, we have no actionable, specifics here, and yet we're going to put all of this presence just in Times Square.
Well, you have to. Well,
just be afraid.
Times Square. Okay. Well, what about the Statue of Liberty? What about the
Empire State Building,
the Freedom Tower, the new.
Well, how do you know they're not?
Well, I don't know. I just find it interesting that they're mentioning just this one. I think that's the point.
Yeah.
It's that they're only targeting this, and I find that interesting.
Well, I'll tell you what I find interesting, that anybody rents an office in one of those buildings, you know, the new Freedom Tower, it just seems to me that those are the targets that attract these folks. And we did have Obama making a sort of off-the-cuff remark not that long ago about having kept, you know, his job is to keep an A-bomb or something like that out of Manhattan, out of New York City. He must know a little something that we don't know.
Well, the worry about dirty bombs or nuclear bombs has been going on since 9/11. And,
here. It's fear is manipulation of people with fear is what has gone on for centuries. And with media and the quick availability to this information, it can be very effective.
Well,
and they're probably hope. I mean, if ISIS did put this out or the Islamic State or wherever we do call it, put out this call for sympathizers, lone wolves. I mean, maybe somewhere they're hoping that some whack job is going to go commit suicide and take people down with them, and that's a very frightening thing.
Just one thing I wanted to say, Joe, real fast. This country has committed many wrongs. We do know internment of the Japanese was a wrong. We do know that during the Civil War, Lincoln took all kinds of powers on, and he was reprimanded for, you know, after the point. And will people threatened with the loss of life or security, will they justify anything that people want to do now in order to stay safe? That's one of the things you got to worry about in a case like this. What's the balance?
Well, it's all scary stuff, I think. Where do you go?
Well, but I'm raising a point about civil liberties are nice, and I'm certainly the first to get online. But when it comes to do you take other steps? Do you raid as Australia did? Yeah. You know, just 800 cops going in and rounding up people.
Suspected terrorists. Yeah.
I think terrorism has been used by. This is an extreme statement. Okay, I'll warn you about that. I think terrorism has been used by some of our own leaders, definitely in the Bush administration, to cut back on our rights. The records that used to be open are closed, and access that used to be quite available and expected is now shut down, and we say that it's in the name of safety. I haven't seen the evidence that really...
Well, but Roosevelt did it. You could talk about Roosevelt did it. The two greatest heroes that Americans have, Roosevelt and Lincoln, always showing up on the top of all the list. They both did it, and I'm sure everybody said, no, that's bad. You shouldn't do it, but you have to. In this case,
I don't say you have to. I don't think we had to intern Japanese Americans.
You don't think I'm arguing for it? I've already said.
Yeah. I don't approve of that. It's a well accepted principle in America that when we feel in danger, we cut back on our rights. I don't think it's good.
No.
I want to just go back before we take a break. We'll go back to something that we talked about yesterday. We were talking about the military and about the makeup of the military. And when we got done this conversation, why I love this panel, because Rosemary wrote me just a short time later and said, I was investigating what we were talking about, and I found some interesting data, which kind of contradicted what we were talking about.
Yeah, a listener sent this in. We were talking about the makeup of the U.S. military, the all-voluntary military.
And this
military.
Came from a right-wing think tank, did it?
It did come. This is a study, and it's a couple of years old. It goes back to 2007, and it is from the Heritage Foundation, but they do use Department of Defense figures, which is why I gave it some credence. And it shows that, unlike conventional thinking, the military is not mostly from lower class and minority groups, that it's just the opposite, that they come from, they're well-educated and they're middle class and upper class.
Well, I'd have to see the second study on that. I have issues with it.
Yeah, I would. I'm actually, that's why I sent it to Joe. I'm kind of interested in this now. We should be able to know who's in our military, right? There must be. Why do you have to do a study on it? Why can't the military just tell you?
Just run a data.
Like, what is the percentage?
Well, you better believe they've got it.
Right. Yeah. And whether we get it is another story. Yeah. We're going to take a break. We'll be back and we'll finish up. We'll go on our lightning round and go on all kinds of stories, including stories about our health.
Stand up, Joe.
Your
stand
health.
Up.
Your health. That's right.
We should do this standing up, shouldn't we?
Probably.
We could.
That'd be kind of funny.
All right. We'll maybe do that tomorrow. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Valley Home Improvement, designing and building kitchens, bathrooms, interiors, and additions throughout the Pioneer Valley. Love your home, valleyhomeimprovement.com. Woodstock School of Art, presenting Seldom Seen, featuring work from the permanent collection of the Historical Society of Woodstock through November 1st. WoodstockSchoolOfArt.org. And Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, offering organic and local groceries, working to build a healthy and sustainable community. Berkshire.coop. Very happy today, Dave.
Very good stuff. Fun
Dave
music.
Being our, Dave,
Dave
Hopper,
Hopper being yeah. our wonderful board op and providing our music, our musical engineer this morning, as most mornings, and just good stuff. All right, let's go to letters, and then we'll finish up in our bonus round.
Okay, Michael Cerretto. Did Alan really say dropping the bomb on the Japanese was wrong? No. Do you want more? Sacrificing a million American soldiers to invade Japan the right thing to do? No, I never said it, and I don't believe it. Okay, thank you for that. And then from Noah, go Rosemary. Terrorism is bandied about constantly as a tool of manipulation, and it means nothing. It is an irresponsible, racialized term used to promote jingoism. And Walker says, a guy in Rochester who runs a grimy chicken joint was just arrested on suspicion of recruiting jihadists. CNN is already hitting home. Okay. And Judith says, Scotland already has considerable autonomy over education, healthcare, and agriculture and justice. Scottish law is not the same as English law. And she goes on, but because we are out of time, getting out of time, I can't read more than that. Keep it to a sentence or two, will you, folks? And then Gary says, good morning. Can anyone on the panel define exactly what a moderate rebel is? Thanks. That's a very good point.
It is a good point.
It's a very good point. Because we have seen the hard way when moderates turn out to be Osama bin Laden. Then there's a no air, please. Well, then just send it to us later. No air, please. And I guess that's it.
All right. We again welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Let's bring in Megan Finnegan, and we will find out an update on our lockbox and find how things are going, and then we will go from there as to...
You're standing up.
We're going to make you stand up because we're told that's better for us.
Health-wise.
We'll get to that in just a moment. Megan, good morning. We have, of course, our lockbox challenge going on. We're trying to get to the $300,000 point by October 6th, the start of the fund drive, and also to get a $25,000 challenge. Where are we in this, Megan Finnegan?
We are all the way up to $172,514 as of this morning.
We need about $130,000 to go to get that $25,000. It will go into the fund drive with $300,000, but most important, our sense of community will be strengthened. Each of us who stops me on the street, happened twice yesterday, people say, you know, I love the radio station, and it's just great. Thank you all for what you've done. And I say, no, thank you, because, you know, we've just seen some evidence that we're one of the most listened to public radio stations in the United States.
Wow.
One of the most listened to public radio stations in the United States. And if everybody just put a little in, done, finished. Come on, everybody. It's for the kids. It's for you. It's for your sanity. Go and do it. WAMC.org. Thanks, Megan.
Thank you very much. Again, you can get more information, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. Megan Finnegan, thank you very much. Let's go to our bonus round, find out our lightning round, I should call it, find out opinions on a wide range of subjects. We'll start with the health stuff because we've been talking about it all morning. I want to make sure we have time for it. One is sit less, live longer. According to a new study, if people need motivation to get up from their office chairs or couches and become less sedentary, two useful new studies could provide. could provide the impetus. One found that sitting less can slow the aging process within cells. The other helpfully underscores that standing up, even if you are standing still, can be good for you as well.
Well, I'm all for it, and I think we ought to. One of Roselle's old friends, that's what he's done for his entire life. He's made things that you stand up, standing desks.
People who have bad backs will do that, but it would help us all.
No,
what does it say about lying down?
Depends what you're doing when you're lying down.
Yeah, I assume.
It's a good way to sleep.
Well, yeah, and sleeping is, they tell us the importance of sleeping and 8 hours and all of that. So I think it's a balance.
Horses must really be healthy because they stand up.
Yeah, that's true.
Although I saw one lying down the other day.
Yeah. Does that mean it's going to rain or is that just cows?
Or that the horse may not be doing that well.
Or someone tipped it.
Yeah. Right. Let's go to the other health story, which is that artificial sweeteners may disrupt a body's blood sugar controls, ultimately aiding in the broader diabetes.
Well, that's what Roselle always said to me. Don't drink that stuff. And immediately I thought of, guess who? I thought of Joe Donahue, who has been, you know, has imbibed some of these
yes. You like things. These? How's your blood chemistry?
My blood chemistry is fine.
Yeah.
But the irony is, because you're trying to avoid diabetes by you're cutting your intake of sugar, and in fact, you can mess it up by using sugar substitutes, it says.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, so in other words, there has to be a healthy mix. So you can have the Danish with... The artificial sweetener.
No. Sadly, as somebody who has experienced every kind of health, thing. And
malady?
Diet, yeah. I can tell you, you can't have anything. Ever.
I'm afraid you're probably right.
Stand up and don't eat anything.
It's all going to kill you, isn't it, Alan?
Stand up and drink water.
And the water. Whoa.
Careful of the water. Sorry, yeah.
Microbes.
I want to get to Rosemary's story.
Mark Fuller.
Mark Fuller. This is an
federal judge in Alabama, and he is charged with a domestic abuse, and there are increasing calls that he resign. Three U.S. senators have now called for his resignation, as well as the congresswoman from Alabama. And the view is, well, if the NFL can get rid of star athletes, shouldn't we be doing the same thing?
Shouldn't we be
watching federal judges?
Is that the term the NFL uses?
Delisted.
Yes, you should be delisted.
Yeah, Ryan says, good morning. I think we need to get off the air, get off of our yes. That's an old song. It's an old song.
Oh, the slipping
in and sliding on is yes. Okay, yeah. All right then.
We kind of glossed over Mark Fuller, don't we think he should be not sitting on the bench while this case is sorted out in an Atlantic hotel? He knocked his wife down, and more than an athlete,
a member of the judiciary should be held to a high standard of their own personal behavior, and when there's a question, they should at least be suspended until it's resolved.
Yes.
I was watching the remarks of Terry Sewell, who's the congresswoman from Alabama, who is calling for
this. She started this.
And very articulate in her case, and I think just makes a brilliant point about this. And the other point is that and she started this beginning of September, trying to get all of this done, and it's been very difficult. And it just seems like that wouldn't be that hard.
Well, it's an avalanche now.
Yeah.
The NFL, the real value of those cases is that it has now put a spotlight on the issue.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Yeah,
it's the spotlight on the issue because believe me, this is an epidemic.
Huge problem.
All over the place.
Right. And the judge, by the way, got the same treatment from the courts as Ray Rice. Well, we'll put you in a program where you learn not to hit women.
And meanwhile, he is interpreting our laws.
Right.
Okay.
And meting out justice to others.
Yes. Is there a top story from the Albany Times Union you would like to share with us,
Well,
Michael?
The big one, of course, is that a state Supreme Court judge says that the Board of Elections cannot, in the ballot referendum, call the proposed reapportionment redistricting plan independent because it
on
really
the ballot.
On the ballot. They can't
I think
use
that's
the
a
word
terrific thing. Yeah. It shows the guy has guts. Good for him. Because we've all been yelling about this for a while. It's not the first time the Cuomo administration has tried.
Last year they used language, very supportive language, on the ballot item that was ultimately led to the approval of casino gambling in New York. They said it was to raise jobs and lower taxes and help schools and local governments.
There's a falling opinion polls on Cuomo himself. And I have a thesis that as that happens, some politicians, judges, and others will be a little less fearful.
Opposing viewpoints. Well, that's what a judge did, and this case pitted good government groups against each other. Some brought it, while others were saying
two of them sold out, to be honest with you. Two of those groups sold out from the very beginning.
Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain, thank you all for being with us. Thanks to everybody who wrote in. You can still do so. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.